Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Tonight, look with me, verse number 18 of Acts chapter number 20. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, the bounds or the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the whole of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And can I just say this? The latter portion of verse number 24 ought to be the purpose of every person sitting here tonight, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Everything that we do and everything that we say, we should pray, God, help me to be a testimony of your grace. Amen. And it is because of the grace of God that we are here tonight. Know what he said in verse 24. He said that he just didn't want to finish his chorus, but he wanted to finish it with joy. Serving the Lord is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Preaching tonight is not something that I have to do. It's something that I get to do. Serving Jesus, I don't have to do it. I get to do it. Reading my Bible, I don't have to do it. I get to do it. Singing, I don't have to do it. I get to do it. Knocking on doors, I don't have to do it. I get to do it. Telling people about Jesus, I don't have to do it. I get to do it. I hope you understand what I'm saying tonight. We get to do this. And he said, man, I not only want to finish my chorus, but I want to finish it with joy. In other words, I want to finish it with a smile on my face and others know that I do what I do by the grace of God, and it is a joy to be able to do that. Now, know what he says at the beginning of verse number 24. But none of these things move me. And I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord for the next few minutes. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. He said, none of these things move me. Father, I love you tonight. I pray that over the next few minutes that you illuminate our mind, that you preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Clothe us in the cloak of our calling. God, help us tonight to determine in our heart, let come what may, we are not going to be moved, but God, we're going to finish the course that you have for us. We're going to be a testimony of your grace, and we're going to finish it with joy. We'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. When you come to chapter number 20 of the book of Acts, there are several things about Paul here. In the first five verses, there's Paul's faithful companions. In verse 6 through 12, there's Paul's final communion. In verse 13 through 17, there's Paul's foolish concern. But in verses number 18 through 38, there is Paul's farewell address, or Paul's farewell comments that he makes. Think about this. Paul Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders in verse number 18. He deals with a past ministry. In verse 22, he deals with a pressing mission. But in verse 26, I like this, Paul deals with a peace of mind. Note what he says in verse number 26, Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. What is Paul saying there? Paul is simply saying this, everybody that I came in contact with, I told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a testimony to them about what the Lord done for me. Then there's Paul's parting message in verse 32. And I like verse 36 because there's Paul's prayer meeting. Look what he said in verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. He kneeled down and prayed with them all. Can I just say this in passing tonight? Prayer is a very important thing. Amen. And Paul prayed with them all. We don't exercise prayer the way that we need to exercise prayer. And I'm not going to preach on prayer, but boy, we need to be exercising the ministry of praying tonight. Amen. I'm interested in verse 24 where Paul said, but none of these things move me. I looked up that word move in an 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and here's what it means. It means to cause to change place or posture in any manner or by any means. In other words, it means this, if I could put it in low gap terms, it means to differ on something. It means to wobble on the shaft. Can I just say it this way? It means to quit is what it means. And Paul says, none of these things move me. Again, I want to preach on this thought. I shall not be moved. You know what we need tonight? We need to determine by the grace of God that we're going to finish the course that God has set us in. I'll never forget whenever I was doing my Bible college, I'd finished my associate's and I started my bachelor's program. And it was when Dad had the school at Northwood. I'll never forget the first night. Dad said this. He said, now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. He said, it takes absolutely zero effort to quit. Anybody can quit. Quitters are a dime a dozen. And he said, at the end of the semester and at the end of the year, will you still be sitting here or will you be a quitter? Can I tell you something tonight? Anybody can quit. Anybody can throw in the towel. It takes absolutely zero effort to quit tonight. So I want to ask you a question tonight. What's it going to take to move you? What's it going to take to cause you to quit? One said this, you can determine the caliber of a Christian by what it takes to make them quit. If we're real honest within ourselves, every one of us at some point in our life, and it may have even been in recent days, it has crossed our mind throwing in the towel and quitting. Sometimes we wonder, didn't that say amen? Somebody help me tonight. Sometimes we wonder, is it really worth it? Is serving God really worth it? Is teaching my Sunday school class really worth it? Is singing in the choir really worth it? Hear me and hear me well tonight. Was Jesus going to Calvary really worth it? The answer is yes. So let's just back up a minute. It really is worth going to church. It really is worth serving Jesus. It really is worth preaching another message. It really is worth singing another song. It really is worth teaching another Sunday school class. And what we need tonight is some people that will get some stickability about them and say, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going with this crowd or that crowd. I'm staying where God has placed me, and I'll serve where God has put me, and by the help of God, I will not be moved. Amen. You remember the old song, don't you? I shall not be moved. It's in your red back that we don't have that Brother Matt asked you to get out every service and open to a page in. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Goes on to say, anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. You know what we need to be tonight? We need to be just like that song says. That song is a biblical song because the psalmist said this in Psalms chapter number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What is it? It wasn't that the tree was placed there. If it's just placed there, it will be moved by every tide that comes by and every wind that blows and every storm that sets in. But it's not placed there. It is planted there. Hear me and hear me well tonight. You don't need to be placed at Amazing Grace. You need to be planted at Amazing Grace. You don't need to be placed in the service of God. You need to be planted in the service of God. And then you can say, let come what may, no matter how bad the storm, no matter what anybody else does to me, by the help of God, I'm going to be planted and I'll not be moved. Amen. Well, there's four things that Paul said did not move him. Can I show it to you right here out of the text? Number one, he said seasons did not move him. Seasons did not move him. What did he say in verse number 18? He said, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all, what's the next word? Seasons. I want you to hear me tonight. We all go through seasons. We all go through seasons. I remember I was watching the little kids go out this morning. When I say little, I'm talking about just started walking. You know, two-year-old kids, and just holding mama's finger going out of church today. And I thought in the back of my mind, I remember that. Matter of fact, Brother Will, it seems like yesterday that Madeline was holding my finger as we were traveling all over the country in missions at the time and raising support. It seems like yesterday. I remember whenever we came here in the ending of July 2006, Olivia had just been born. And I remember several years later, then Victoria was born. And now Madeline's 21 and Olivia's 18 and Victoria's 12. And it seems like yesterday. We're at different seasons in our life. Our life has seasons in it. And you'll find this out in the seasons of life. Sometimes you'll be in a season that's easier to serve God. Well, now you can help me tonight and we'll get done go eat eggs. You'll be at a season in your life where it's easier sometimes to serve God. Can I say this? Sometimes we hit a season, and man, every time we come to church, boy, we're dipping in the bucket of honey and God's blessing. And then every once in a while, Brother Randy, let's just be real about it, we'll hit a season, and Brother Aaron, you'll want to kill every one of those kids over there. Not literally. I better back up on that. We're on the internet. But you'll want to send every one of them back to their parents. Brother Josh, you'll wonder, are they even listening to anything that I say? Why? Because there's seasons that we go through. Then sometimes you'll teach to them and you'll be like, man, I think every one of them's going to be a preacher or a missionary. They'll be the next president. And the next time... 2 months later, they're going to run the gangs of Surrey County. Why? Because seasons in our life. I thought about this, and Brother Elijah and Miss Maddie is in a season in their life right now. God sent them to us, and they've taken over our youth church, or not our youth church, but our youth group as a whole. They're our youth leaders now, and man, everything's going smooth, and God's blessing them, and young people love them right now. But you know what's going to happen before long? Y'all all think that she's just this little sweet, quiet young lady. I promise you, I've already learned different than that. And you know what's going to happen before long? She's going to stand up to one of y'all. The reason I say that, because 98% of the youth group's women are girls. And well, y'all know, women's emotional sometimes. And she's going to say something to your little teenage daughter, and your little teenage daughter's going to come crying home to you. And before you think about it, you're going to jump on her. And then she's going to come say something to me, and I'm going to say, I stand with her, because I'm going to back the leaders of our church. Somebody holler amen right there. And she's going to go home, and she's going to tell old brother Elijah, you know what? I could care less about working with that bunch of... Yeah, we'll just stop right there. Why? Because we go through seasons in our life. Somebody help the preacher tonight. We go through seasons. But you know what Paul said? Even the seasons of my life did not move me. Hear me and hear me well. If you feel like going to church, go to church. If you don't feel like going to church, go to church. If everything's going smooth, go to church. If everything's going bad, go to church, man. Don't allow seasons to move you. Seasons. Sometimes, man, everything will be great. Everything will be running smooth, and then all of a sudden it seems like everything's going south. Everybody you love's turned against you. Half your family dies in just 2 or 3 weeks. What's it going to take to move you tonight? Paul said seasons. Number two, watch this. Look in verse number 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears. Paul said seasons are not going to move me. But number two, he said this, sadness is not going to move me. Sadness is not going to move me. Can I just slow down here for about 2 or 3 minutes and then we'll go to the next one. I preached on this Wednesday night. If you wasn't here, just go back and watch the live feed or listen to the podcast. But I preached on sadness. I preached on the storms out of Job on Wednesday night. And can I say something to you tonight? Sadness will come. Sadness, are you hearing me tonight? Sadness will come in our life. Look what he said in verse number 23. He said, the bonds of affliction or bonds and afflictions abide in me. Not every day is going to be sunny, man. Not every day is going to be Hakuna Matata. There's going to be some hard times, and there's going to be some sadness in our life. Oh, but may we determine by the grace of God that even though sadness may come, with the help of God and Him being our strength, we will make it through it. Sadness did not move Paul. He said, you know what? There was tears in my life, but I just kept doing what God said do. I just kept serving like God said serve. I just remained faithful as God wanted me to be faithful. Sadness tonight. Number three, let me move. I told you I'm not going to be real long tonight. He said seasons didn't move him. He said sadness didn't move him. Look in verse number 19 again. He said, and with many tears and, what's the next word? Temptations. Temptations. You know what Paul said? Sin is not going to move me. Now, I've really preached all afternoon to get to these last 2 points. He said, sin is not going to move me. You know what? It's taking a lot of people down in the realm of fundamentalism today. Don't let that word bother you, okay? Let me tell you what's taking a lot of people down in Christianity today. And let me tell you what's taking a lot of preachers out of the pulpit today, and what's taking a lot of Sunday school teachers out of their class today, what's taking a lot of people out of the choir today? Sin. Sin. We are in a society today that accepts anything. Now, you can say amen and help me right through here, and we'll get through this quicker. We're in a society today that accepts anything. And I want to say this to you tonight. You know me, and you know that I'm all for loving the sinner. I'm all for it. I'm all for loving them and telling them about Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something today. If you're around something so long, and you've heard me say this in recent days, you will become immune to that. Daddy said it this way. He said, you are right now or soon will be what your friends are. Let me see who you're hanging out with all the time. Can I just say it that way? And I'll see what you're becoming. Well, preacher, there's no way that we can win them to God if we're not around them. I agree with you there. But there has to be a line that we draw. There has to be a time that we say, hey, look, man, I love you. I appreciate you. I'll be there for you. However, I cannot have anything to do with that. I have to separate myself from that. And I want to tell you something tonight. Sin is taking a lot of preachers out of the pulpit today. Sin is destroying a lot of homes today. Sin is not something that's new to us. The condition of our country is not something that is new to us. Even what happened yesterday is not something that's new to America. It's happened before. It's a cycle that goes through. It's a season that goes through. And what we've got to determine tonight is we're not going to allow sin to destroy our home and destroy our marriage and to destroy our children. I understand my children may go another way when they move out, but by the help of God, I'm going to teach them right. I'm going to train them right. I'm going to teach them what's wrong and what's right. Sin is destroying so many today. Paul says this, I'm not going to allow sin to destroy my testimony. I'm not going to be moved because of sin. Let me tell you how to keep that from happening tonight. Can I just give you some scripture on it? And can I just say this tonight? We need the Bible to back up everything. We need the Bible to back up everything. Abraham used the Word of God to back up his worship. I dealt with that this morning. We need the Bible to back it up. Here's what he said. He said, make no provision for the flesh. Boy, it's got quiet right there. That's what he said, Brother Josh. He said, make no provision for the flesh. Amen. If you're a lady here tonight and you come up to me after service and say, preacher, I would like to talk to you. First thing I'm going to say is this. Well, it's going to be a few minutes because I've already got to talk to another couple as soon as service is over. But if you want to stick around, my wife and I will be glad to talk to you. Amen. But preacher, I need to talk to you directly. My wife and I will be glad to talk to you. Amen. But preacher, it needs to be you. My answer is not going to change. My wife and I will be glad to sit down and talk to you. Let me tell you the reason why. Because sin is destroying preachers today that's making provision for the flesh. I'm preaching good tonight. You better be real careful what you're doing at the job place. Yeah, man. You say, preacher, I come to get encouraged tonight. I'm trying to encourage you to stay right, man. You better be real careful what you're doing at the job place. Hey, lady, you better be real careful who you're talking to and the compliments that you're accepting from them. In recent days, there was a lady in our church that was at work. I never call names. There was a lady in our church that was at work, and there was an individual that was not necessarily her supervisor, but was over her, and the whole rim of things come to her and said some inappropriate things. And she responded to him, and just to make a long story short, in general, here's what she said. I don't appreciate that, and I'll no longer work with you until you apologize to me for that. You said, well, preacher, you know, we better stand our ground. Amen. Let me tell you what'll happen. If you don't, you'll start moving. You'll start moving. And it won't be long. You'll not only accept the compliment, but you'll respond to the compliment. And then before you know it, you'll find yourself in a situation that you said you'd never be in. Make no provisions for the flesh. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. With every temptation. You know what? If you look at David's life, I don't have time to go look at all of it. You look at David's life, there was a way of escape. They said to him, hey, wait a minute. Is this not Bathsheba? Is this not the wife of Uriah, David? You better pump the brakes, hoss. You fixing to mess up. You know what happened with Samson? When he got down there to that vineyard he wasn't supposed to be at, God sent a lion down there. God, amen. I'm telling you, with every temptation, church, there is a way of escape. All we have to do is look for the exit sign and go out the door. Amen. Sin. Paul said, I didn't allow sin to move me. Every one of us is going to be tempted on a daily basis. Every one of us, we're going to be tempted. We're going to be tempted, and sin goes far greater than fornication and adultery and alcohol. Can I just say this? Be angry and sin not. Amen. Sometimes the best thing we can do is when we get angry is keep our mouth shut. Somebody holler amen and help me. I had to apologize two or three times this week. You say, why? Because I let my mouth get in a high gear and my mind in neutral. Some of y'all say amen. You can act like you're holy, but I've been in some situations where you've done the same thing, hoss. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with being angry, but it becomes sin when we open our mouth and spew out words out of our mouth that we had no business saying, man. Yeah. Bitterness. Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you, the young preacher hit it last Sunday night. We may not be able to forget what somebody's done, but we can choose what manner we decide to remember it in. Sin tonight. Here's the last thing and we'll go home. I shall not be moved. Paul said, I'm not going to be moved by seasons. I'm not going to be moved by sadness. I'm not going to be moved by sin. Look in verse number 19 again. The Bible said this, temptation which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. By the lying in wait of the Jews. Can I say this to you in closing tonight? I shall not be moved by seasons, by sadness, by sin. But he said, by the lying in wait of the Jews, I shall not be moved by the saints. For sake of alliteration, saints. They call themselves saints, but they're really devils. They have a form of godliness denying the power therein. Somebody holler amen. Jesus said it this way. We all say we want a preacher like Jesus. We couldn't handle a preacher like Jesus. He said, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, you speak well of me with your mouth, but your heart's as far from me. There's a crowd that calls themselves Christians that may even sit on a church pew or a chair in the house of God, and they may even sing in the choir beside of you, that's going to do everything in their power to destroy you. They become jealous. They become jealous. They become jealous. Everybody all right tonight? And you know what they do? They begin to lash out with these little statements. Well, who do they think they are? Well, who do you think you are? That's what I always ask people back, Brother Wilf. They say, who do you think you are? I always say, well, who are you? Who do you think you are? And if they ever give you this, with all due respect, that means you're not getting the respect you're due. How many times? I got to get off this rabbit, but I'm going to go ahead and shoot him real quick. How many times, somebody saying, now, Brother Brian, how many times you've been sitting in your office, and we don't talk about this much, but you're pretty high up down there at your job, and how many times you've been sitting in your office and somebody said, now, Mr. Beasley, with all due respect, and you know it's coming. No, if it was with all due respect, you'd just keep your mouth closed. How many times has some saint, are you with me, came up and said something and caused somebody to get moved? Caused them to get moved. You've heard me say this many times, and I'll say it again. No church ever crumbles from without. It crumbles from within. No nation crumbles from without. It crumbles from within. No agency crumbles from without. It crumbles from within. How many times have I saw that in years gone by, Brother Aaron? And I don't mean no disrespect in this, but in hometown fire departments that had a good thing going and it got torn into a million pieces, not because something somebody did on the outside, but because of jealousy on the inside. And let me tell you what will happen to Amazing Grace. If Amazing Grace crumbles and Amazing Grace is moved, it'll not be because of something out there. It'll be because of something in here. If you leave the church tonight and go to a different church, it'll not be because of something out there. It'll be because of something in here. But what you need to determine tonight is no matter what nobody says in here, no matter what nobody does in here, by the grace of God, you're going to be in your place. You're going to be serving God. You're going to be exalting the name of the Savior. And you're not going to be moved, man. You're not going to be moved. What did he say? Here's what he said. And whenever you study it in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 10. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He said, Demas hath forsaken me. There's going to be some come, and there's going to be some go. Matter of fact, if you look around tonight, you'll see that there's empty seats even since we've moved in here from somebody that used to be here. I want to say this to you tonight. If you let somebody run you off, it's you wasn't here to begin with for the right thing. Now, I understand there's times that God moves us. And I'm going to say something tonight. Come start playing so I'll hush. I'm going to say something tonight. Now, not many preachers you're going to hear say, but I'm going to say it anyway. If it comes a place where you can't get along with the leadership of the church and you can't back them and support them, instead of causing a big problem, you know what the best thing to do is? Go find another solid, fundamental church. Sit down with your preacher and say, hey, look, I love you. I appreciate you. But that's been done here. And you know what happens when I see them? I shake their hand, we hug each other's neck, and we go on down the road. There is some times that there's a difference. Now, we can say, well, no, bless God, it ain't that way. It is that way. Man, this is 2024. It is that way. Instead of causing a problem, instead of stirring a big stink, instead of dividing the church and splitting the church, wrecking a man of God's ministry. Now, I'm not talking about that man of God's in left field living in sin. That's a whole other story. I understand what I'm saying. I understand that there's times that God moves us. I want to say something to you tonight. You ought to determine tonight, I'm not going to be moved. If the truth of the matter was known tonight, there's probably some sitting underneath the sound of my voice that in recent days you've pondered in the back of your mind, am I really where I'm supposed to be? Can I say something? I believe you are. You know what you need to do? You say, preacher, if I go to that altar tonight, everybody's going to think about, who cares what everybody thinks about you? Who cares, man? They already know you're here. Who cares what they think? Tell you what you'll do. You'll find your place in an altar tonight. You'll say, by the grace of God, man, they ain't nobody running me off. There ain't nobody pushing me out of the way. Amen. Is anybody hearing a preacher tonight? By the grace of God, I'll be in my place. I'll be serving God. The preacher can count on me. The preacher can count on me. Whenever it's time for something to go on down at the house of God, he can count on me. I shall not be... He said, none of these things move me. Seasons will come. Sadness will come. Sin will come your way. Saints will come your way. But may we decide tonight, hey, I'm just going to serve God. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up my place. I'm not throwing in the towel. By the help of God, I'm going to finish this race. What did he say? With joy. That's a whole nother message. In other words, I'm not going to come to church like this. I'm not going to go see somebody and go, well, I'll go down there at Amazing Grace. You can come sometime if you want to. There's a good chance I ain't coming. By the way, we had a family visit this morning. Said the reason they come, they were sitting right here, said the reason they come is because some ladies knocked on their door the other Saturday visiting in Mount Airy and invited them to church. Said we looked at each other and said, if they're going to get out and knock on doors and invite somebody to church, we're going down there to church. See what it is. Man, do it with joy tonight. Do it with joy tonight. Do it with joy tonight. Do it with your Father.